Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, welcome back. Reamer Wiki Bradfo.
What's wrong with
the WI Ford Clubhouse Studio? I thought we were playing John Morosi here. Nah, Wiki Betts.
Okay, whatever.
This There's a little thing called a sponsor that makes us money.
Oh, you're right, Joe. Exactly. This is a sponsor, right? The sponsor, this hour of Reamer Wiki Bradfo is brought to you by Rhino Shield. There we go, yes.
And here is your wish granted.
Last year, Mookie Betts was on his way to winning the MVP, winning the World Series, and it seemed as though his future certainly would be in Boston. However, Joel Sherman reported that Mookie turned down an 8-year, $200 million contract extension offer, and it seems very likely to go to free agency at this point in time. He is a free agent after the coming season, after 2020. And so I was told by sources today that there's a belief in the industry, now this is not coming from the Red Sox, but they believe at this point in time that the Red Sox will at least listen, yes, listen, to trade offers for Mookie in the winter.
That was John Morosi on Fox Sports, on MLB Network, rather. And yes, thank you, Joe, the great Joe behind the glasses. Ours brought to you by Ryan
Shield.
You
want to start
he
with
always
my,
has
my,
the sound that we need.
What do you want to start with, my take on that or your take on people eating in the press box?
Let's start with my take on people eating the press box.
All right, so we were talking in the break. We're talking about losing weight and everything else, and Wiggy's having a hard time with the bread. And the
I'm working on it.
No, the best point is Wiggy said, quote, if he were to stop eating bread, he'd drop 30 pounds just like that.
30 pounds just like that.
I would. I could. I just don't have the willpower to stop eating bread.
So we'll never know. And so, and I said, well, you know, it's a challenge baseball season because you're sitting up there for these long games in the press box, and all you're doing is eating.
A lot of free food, and you're sitting around.
And what did you say, Alex?
Well, are people smoking weed up there?
No, you said, well, you know what you do? You smoke weed.
With the vape.
And jokingly, I said, well, everyone's up there smoking weed now,
and
Alex.
And Rima thought it was
And you said, really? They are?
Well, maybe.
Yes, we're all covering the game, smoking.
Find me a play. If you come to the Red Sox game, not only can you enjoy a great day of baseball, but hey, they got designated areas where you can light it up.
And it's called the press box.
All right, you're misrepresenting my opinion.
No, I'm not.
I'm not talking about a joint. Obviously,
God loves
people
weed.
Are lighting, taking bong hits in the press box, but the vape pens now. It's like an e-cig. You vape.
What do you think?
No one notices.
What do you think goes on up in the press box?
What? You're sitting around bored with nothing
like
to do.
Seems like a lot of crazy stuff in Rima.
It's not crazy.
People are vaping during the games?
It's not crazy. You sit there and you vape. What's crazy about it? It's one of the most sedentary things you can do.
I often wonder at some of the columns that I did write. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this guy sounds like he's high right now.
Me? I would never do that before writing a column.
They actually...
Are we still going to smoke that pot?
They actually, back in the day, I think they stopped in the early 90s, they did have beer up there after the games, which is right in the wheelhouse of writing the story, so you would have beer, but that came and went. They have not evolved into vaping.
Yes.
Well, you act like it's a crazy thing to do.
It is a crazy. Have you ever been up to a press box?
I have.
When?
When I was 12 years old, when the Today Show was doing
a lot of kids up there.
Went up to the press box. I could go to the press box anytime now.
I have this
media pass.
This is the biggest takeaway, is that you haven't been to press box. You write about all this stuff. You're ripping people left and right.
I'm crazy.
And you haven't been up to the press box since you were 12 years
old. Jerry Callahan told me to never go to the press box.
He wants to know if they're smoking weed up there.
He does. Netter told him, if you want to be a good columnist, never go to the locker room. So I heeded that advice.
Is that true? I mean,
that's what he said.
That's not even right. By the way, after you write a column ripping someone, you should show up the next day.
Shaughnessy always does that.
Well, isn't that what you should do?
I agree. You should. Okay. I'm going to start.
Where have you been?
I've asked 2.5 years. Good question.
I take this back. You wrote the big Jalen Beeks Pawtucket story for us.
I worked that story.
I know you did.
I got quotes.
You're much like Morosi, you work in your sources.
I was. All right. So, okay. First, I don't like this character defamation as well. It's not crazy to think that sitting and vaping is not a crazy thing to do.
In a
it's
press
very
box
calm,
covering
very
a game
sedentary.
It is.
Well, I told you I did that here at our station.
Yeah, but I don't think you can really do that anywhere. I don't think there's like
a
place.
Sneak it. Go to the bathroom a little. you know, oh, a little restroom sneaky. Action. Anyway.
I know the clouds.
See, like, yeah, I mean, come on, Rob. Slinky, what gave you the motivation for that Slinky idea?
Because he was vaping in the press box.
We're all vaping in the press box.
And okay, you act like it's a crazy thing. It's not a crazy thing. It's done. John Morosi.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts.
Yeah, so he says, what is your take on my sources. Yeah, so what report. He said, like, I could have asked, I like John, Paul, JP, whatever
I think
you want to call
John him. Now. Okay. He's a TV guy.
And I can personally and everything else, and I know they got to say something, but
yeah, nice
I
man.
Mean, is this a news? Is this news?
Okay, we really, wrote like, about it.
I know we did. We're the most accurate aggregators in the business. But it's you know, like, yeah, of course they're going to listen on Mookie Betts. Sam Kennedy basically came on these airwaves and said they got together the Monday before the trade deadline, and they said, hey, we should explore all avenues. They probably listen then. They're going to listen in the offseason. And you know what? They should define whether or not they're going to trade him in the offseason before spring training.
Well, see, I think to ask you, I think, which is the more important question.
I don't smoke weed in
yes,
the press box.
Yes, we know that you don't smoke weed in the press box.
Never
the,
smoke
the,
weed
the,
in my
the
life.
The most important question is, forget about, you know, whether or not they're fielding calls. Do you think they should trade him? I thought they
no,
should have traded
think,
him.
No, I think, I've said this a million times. I think that they should listen. They should talk to him. You get to the end of spring training, or you get to not even to spring training. You get to spring training. Mm-hmm. You get an idea where he's coming from.
Right.
Is there going to be any wiggle room at all? And then you make your move, or you don't make your move.
So, do you think they should trade Mookie Betts or not? In your opinion,
no. I just told you. If they feel, put it this way, Wiggy. If they feel that they cannot sign him before the first day of the season next year, mm-hmm. then I believe they should trade Mookie Betts. Yes.
So, okay, so you don't think if they could sign him long term?
What would give you that feeling that you can't? Like, what would be an offer that he would turn down and you would go, up? We have no chance.
Something closer to Mike Trout than Bryce Harper.
So Mike yes. Trout signed 12-year, $426 million
but it's
extension.
More, but it's more, it would be more like 10 years. Mike Trout's actual deal was 10 years, 365.
Sure, something.
So 10 years, 340.
Yeah, and you have to figure out, like, they have to be realistic about this too. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You aren't making what Mike Trout makes, right? We know this.
Well,
Making more than Bryce Harper.
You're making more than Bryce Harper. You're making more than Manny Machado. And you can say what you want about Mookie Betts this year, but you know you can take a deeper dive into it, and certainly much better player than he's better player than Manny Machado. He's better player than Bryce Harper. He's a better player than Nolan Arenado. He brings more to the table across the board than those guys.
Right.
He should be paid more than those guys. Mike Trout, if he kept going like he did last year, then he's in the conversation, but he's not
taking
right
a
now. That's okay, though. That's okay. But if Mookie Betts said, I have to get a dollar more than Mike Trout or at least the same, then you're probably going to have to trade
him. Do you think, right, and I think that they probably look at it like this and say, all right, he's probably a 10 years, 340 guy, right? Do you think that the Red Sox might have told his agent, hey, this is where we see him ballpark-wise, money-wise, like 10 years, 340, 10 years, 330?
Yeah, I think they've tried to do that,
right,
sure.
So,
but Wiggy, you know, in contract negotiations, the further out you are from having to have certainty of it,
right,
the more room for interpretation.
See that, that's why I think that the Red Sox or even Mookie Betts' agent has probably said, hey, this is what we're looking for, or somewhere around this ballpark.
Well, and the other part about this, and this has been brought up over the last couple of weeks, is that Dombrowski part of this.
Well, yes.
Which is because you have Dave Dombrowski going into the last year of his contract, and there's a lot of conversation about his viability here. But if we're talking about Mookie Betts, it's a very real thing. Because if you have a guy in as a lame duck going to the last year of his contract, mm-hmm. defining what you're going to give Mookie Betts, and I understand the ownership signs off on it. Maybe the ownership comes down and says, in this case, we are going to say this is what we're willing to spend for Mookie Betts. Then the Dombrowski thing goes out the window. But usually, that's not how it happens. Usually, the president of baseball operations said, this is what we are willing to spend
right.
for this guy. Will you sign off on it?
April 1st of next year, is Mookie Betts here?
I believe he is. I think he'll sign a deal.
You do? So he's going to be, what, 350?
I think he means too much. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I think he means too much.
So what's the number, 350?
I think it's up. Yeah, I mean, what was...
10 years, 365, if you would have just said,
yeah,
not the extension.
I mean, sure, 350.
I mean, in that range, it would have to be.
Right, so you think not only April 1st is Mookie Betts here, but you think he's gotten the contract. So you don't even think he goes to free agency following the 2020 season. You think the Red Sox will him and the Red Sox will come to an agreement.
Yeah, I think that, and put it this way, I'll say it again, if they don't come to an agreement by that time, he'll be traded.
By April 1st of next season?
You can't go through next year. You can't go through next year wondering if you're going to sign Mookie Betts.
Well, especially given the state of your rotation, which you have so much money tied up with Chris Sale, David Price, and Nathan Eovaldi, you need to start replenishing the back end of this rotation, Rob, with more cost-effective young guys.
Yeah,
and you don't have those in your system right now.
And think about it. And you know, they get knocked for the Sale deal. We'll see how that works out. But think about it. And I talked to Xander on the award-winning Bradfoe Show podcast.
Correct.
We'll be dropping tomorrow.
Oh, so that's a special guest, by the way, Xander Bogaerts. Oh, you're recording a new one tomorrow.
No, I already did it. I taped it.
Oh.
So it's in the can.
I thought there was a mystery guest.
So Bradfoe.
No, that's another one. Okay. But hold on. So one of the things I talked to him about, what would happen if he didn't sign that deal? I mean, think
Bogaerts
about
deal.
Yeah, Bogaerts' right. deal. I mean, he would obviously make more money than right. he signed for. And they have been able to control things a little bit because you signed that deal. Because he is the next level of player that he was last year, right?
Bogaerts, we thought he
was going to be.
Him and Devers have been the two bright spots this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I mean, you could make the case for his age and everything else that Xander Bogaerts, a team signing Xander Bogaerts, is more worth it than a Bryce Harper.
Given the position he plays. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So much. It was March 19th. It was around March 18th or something like that. I'll tell you right now, of 2019 is when we saw Mike Trout get that contract extension. March 19th. So somewhere around that time,
you're going to define what you're going to do with
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts.
Okay.
And listen, I like that.
It gives me a window.
I'm giving you all kinds of.
So we should know.
This is going to be a big week for
So March should be a big month for everybody. We should know what Brady's done.
I mean, we're going to be doing the play-by-play for the spring training
right.
game.
So we might have
to break in.
So we're going to just be have coming off the new Brady deal because
Brady leaves.
Or Brady leaves, right? Which is the March 7th league year.
First week of March.
Yeah, deadline. And then around March 19th, March 20th, mm-hmm. is we should hear whether
finality with Mookie
big
Betts.
Week. It's a big month, big week.
A big early spring here in Boston. Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be big next year. It's going to be a big, big, big spring.
Yeah. Here's the second question, Rob, and you mentioned this. Dan Shaughnessy writes this week about Dave Dombrowski. I will be shocked if Dombrowski is back with the Red Sox next season. Do you agree?
I would not be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. I'm 50-50. I'm split on
50-50.
But I think it's so easy
to do right now. I think that you go through this year, they make a run at anything. If they are better, if the starting pitching is better, all of a sudden the narrative changed that you signed the right guys, they figured it out. They were somewhat right after all, but right now as we sit here, it does not look good for Dave Dombrowski because the Eovaldi signing, mm-hmm. because you brought back a lot of the same guys, you weren't really creative with the roster,
no,
so forth and so on. So, but you know,
and doesn't he only have 1 year left?
He has 1 year left.
So you don't want to,
with all the decisions facing him this offseason, Mookie Betts extension.
But you don't want
a GM entering the lame duck here. You got to have some sort of conversation.
It's not, you know, it's. To sit here in the beginning of August to say, Dave Dombrowski is gone, I think that's putting cart before the horse a little bit. I think that what you have to talk about right now is what is the date, like you put the Mookie Betts date,
right.
what is the date that you have to get something done with Dave Dombrowski?
Right, you're either going to give him a contract extension
yeah.
or you're going
to
let
it
him
It would have to be done quickly, right? Because the GM meetings are in November. Winter meetings are mid-December, so it'd have to be done quickly.
Well, yeah. I mean, you would think that before the winter meetings, anyway.
Right, certainly.
It would be before the David Ortiz golf tournament.
But you mentioned, though, Rob, I mean, the Red Sox have 21 blown saves this year. They're 8-12 when blowing a save this season. Tom Caron tweeted out, if they had won half of those 12 games, they would still be holding a wild card spot right now. So you
yes.
can talk all we want about the starting pitching and all that. The blame goes on the players, and maybe Mookie Betts has had a down year. We can say all that. But the fact of the matter is the Red Sox are where they are, 6.5 games out of the playoffs because
it's because of starting pitching.
But if they won half of those games
right.
that they blew, they would be in control.
I don't say.
And why did they blow those games? Hold on, because they don't have enough in the bullpen.
That's Dombrowski's fault. It starts with the starting pitching.
Right.
It starts with the team was built on starting pitching.
Blown saves those when
you
have the lead and then give up the game.
You expose your bullpen. the bullpen is a close second. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But because of the starting pitching, you have exposed your bullpen to a level that is not comfortable for anyone, has led to a lot of those blown saves.
You know what, I get,
and this is when you have Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, and David Price, and the team record with when they pitched,
well below 500.
When you allocate that much money to those three guys, and you get those sort of results, that is the thing, number one, that's going to lead you down this
path. But what's
been
a big problem with the rotation this year? It's been filling that Evaldi spot, and the reason why you have all that is because Dombrowski brought him back.
Yeah, but I think if you say it's a I think if you say it's a you probably should be saying it's a combination of both.
It is a combination. Right? I said 1A and 1B.
Yeah, right. Like you can't just place blame on the bullpen, but yeah, if the bullpen was better, they'd still be in the wild card. They'd still be in that wild card hunt. But you could also say, hey, if the rotation, you know, did what they were supposed to do, they would be in the hunt as well. So it's a both of it. It's a combination.
Multifaceted, as they say. Nuanced. 617-779-7937. Reamer Wiggy Bradfo, here's what's trending now. Reamer Wiggy Bradfo, sans Bradfo. He's joined the boys up in the Red Sox booth. Pregame starts 12:05. Shaw Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Me and you, Wig, taking the people up until then.
Yes,
big crowd forming outside our Fenway Park studios here, down on land at the center field studios. Lots of people congregating outside here, Wiggy. I want to get your thoughts, though, on this story that I think, as I said earlier, was the biggest story of the week, at least nationally in sports. This whole Stephen Ross, Donald Trump, Kenny Stills situation. Of course, Stephen Ross owns the Dolphins. Hosted a lavish fundraiser for Donald Trump at his Southampton's home Friday. Plates going for as much as $250,000.
Man!
Which is a lot to spend on lunch. A lot to spend on lunch. So, Stephen Ross has a nonprofit called Rise, which is meant to educate and empower the sports community to eliminate racial discrimination, champion social justice, and improve race relations. So Stephen Ross runs a program that basically wants to eradicate racial discrimination in sports and promote racial equality in sports. So Kenny Stills, wide receiver for the Dolphins, tweets this out this week when Stephen Ross, we came to know that he was going to host a Trump fundraiser. Quote, "You can't have a nonprofit with this mission statement, then open your doors to Trump." Stephen Ross issued a statement, "I've known Donald Trump for 40 years. While we agree on some issues, we strongly disagree on many others, and I've never been bashful about expressing my opinions." He goes on to say, "I started my business with nothing, and a reason for my engagement with our leaders is my deep concern for creating jobs and growing our country's economy." So basically, Kenny Stills is saying he can't run a program promoting racial equality in sports and then host this who he thinks is a racist president and Donald Trump. Curious your thoughts, Wiggy, on this whole situation.
It's that old adage saying, like, right, you're friends with a person that has a specific belief, and how can you be friends with that person, right? So I think with the Kenny Stills situation, I understand what Stephen Ross is saying, and I kind of I get the point, but it's very difficult for Kenny Stills to look at that and go like, wait a second, you're telling me this? And in his mind, and I think a lot of people's mind, that when they see Donald Trump or see some of the things that he might be saying or using some of that type of tone, they feel like that he kind of,
Totally.
Yeah, like it's a lot of racial elements of.
There are. He dog whistles. There's no doubt about it. You go from birtherism to many fine people on both sides. Of course, what really made this hit a real fervor this week was you had the mass shooting in El Paso, and the shooters in his manifesto online was quoting a lot of racist terms against Hispanics, calling them invaders. Trump has used that language as well. So that's what really had this reach a fever pitch this week. But, you know, I would say.
But it's hard, though, as like, it's very difficult for a guy, like, because you're talking about an owner, right? And so
Stephen Ross,
you look at Robert Kraft, right? He does a lot of things for the community, does a lot of different things for, you know, race relations and that kind of thing. But because he is maybe, you know, friends or agrees with some of the things that Trump says, does that now mean that, oh, he can't do these other things? I think that's kind of where Kenny Stills is missing
it. Yeah, I agree.
It.
But I would say, though, that, you know, it's difficult on one hand to be promoting this program and this charity that, again, wants to fight for racial equality.
That...
And then open your doors to a president who, you said it yourself, Wiggy, wants to divide people
right,
based on race.
Right, but it doesn't mean...
And I think is a racist himself.
I definitely think when Trump says a lot of things, I think there are a lot of things that come out of his mouth that are very racist. But it doesn't mean that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, is then racist because he now likes some of the things that Trump's...
No, but I don't think Kenny Stills is saying that Stephen Ross himself is a racist. He's just saying you're being a hypocrite. You're being fraudulent, where on one hand you're promoting racial equality, and on the other hand you're welcoming this president who does the opposite of that, Kenny Stills thinks.
Well, but maybe in Stephen Ross's mind, he doesn't view Trump's... He doesn't think that Trump's is promoting this stuff like Kenny Stills.
I don't see how you would see that.
Well, but that's what he's probably... Just the same way that when, you know, Kenny Stills says, all right, you know, he feels like Trump says some racist stuff... that's why he then thinks, well, why would you even then align yourself up with this person?
Right.
So I think you have to, if you're Kenny Stills, you have to be able to separate the two, right? Here's what he's trying to do with this nonprofit and helping race relations. And then if he has a fundraiser for Trump and that kind of thing, you got to separate some of the political beliefs that he might align himself with Trump on is different than the other things that Trump might say.
I find this interesting, too, from an NFL standpoint, where this is a player who is explicitly lambasting his owner on social media for all to see. Brian Flores, of course, now coach of the Dolphins, came out the other day and said he wishes Stills talked about this privately with Stephen Ross. But I have no issue with Kenny Stills airing this out publicly.
See,
I think that's great, frankly.
And if you're Stephen Ross, you shouldn't have an issue with it either. Granted, I know that you're the owner, but you should be able to say, hey, listen, these guys, he's a grown man. He has a platform. If he doesn't agree with the things that I'm doing, I'd rather him say it and that kind of thing. And then, you know, if they sit down and they could talk about it, whether it's publicly or private, you still have the right as any person to voice your opinion however way you want. And so I'm hoping that Stephen Ross doesn't look at it and go, wait a second, I'm the owner. You can't say that stuff about me. You want to say some of those things, you need to tell me in private. But I just hope he doesn't do that. But we'll see what happens. I think it is a slippery slope, you know, when you start taking shots at your owner.
What do you mean?
Well, when you start saying things that your owner potentially might not agree with that are going to make him look bad, like when you start to say he's a hypocrite and this, that, and the other, that is then making the owner, Stephen Ross, making him look bad.
Yeah,
in his mind.
But I also think, though, I mean, I would give Stephen Ross credit in this standpoint that, to my knowledge, it doesn't even have any issue with Kenny Stills.
Right, well, that's
publicly.
What I'm saying. Hopefully it doesn't. Right. That's why I said it's a slippery slope. Depending on who the owner is, he might not take issue with it, you know, but then, you know, who's to say he doesn't take issue to it. All I'm saying, you got to be careful when you start taking shots at your boss.
What do you think? I mean, how about if I were a guy, a very rich, you know, billionaire many times over like Stephen Ross, and I had a nonprofit promoting racial equality in sports, let's just say, and I also then am embracing this president, like,
I would ask him. I would sit down and ask him. I would sit down and say to the owner, I'd say, listen, and, you know, especially if you're Kenny Stills, who's, you know, he's got pretty good juice on that team.
Yeah.
You'd say, hey, I don't understand. Why are you promoting, you know, this nonprofit and racial equality, but you're aligning yourself with, in my opinion, a guy who spews a lot of racist rhetoric. And I would ask Stephen Ross status, and hopefully he could say, all right, listen, I do, and I think we've heard this before by Kraft, where he goes, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that Trump says, the president, but there are some things that I agree with what he's doing.
But I want to get to Kraft, too. I mean, it's interesting.
I was actually a very good athlete.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. But who's a better athlete, me or the president? I'd like to see you and Trump in a road race as well, Wiggy. I don't know how that would end. But that's the thing about Kraft. I mean, Kraft has been very close to Trump for years. They're very good friends. We all know the backstory. But just last month, he was dining at the White House. They had Middle Eastern royalty in town, and Kraft was dying there. He's been on Air Force One. He's been a close advisor to Trump. They talk about their friendship all the time. He did an interview with Fox News before the Super Bowl, Kraft said, and did, in which he said Trump is doing great things for the country. country. So my question is, you have Michael Bennett on the Patriots now as a very socially outspoken and aware player. Devin McCourty, we know about how socially aware and outspoken he is as well. I wonder if we'd ever get to a point where Patriots players publicly rebuke Kraft. Or publicly question Kraft for his ties with Trump.
I don't know.
We haven't had that yet.
I don't think we would ever get to that point.
You don't?
Yeah, because I think those players might kind of grab Robert and take him aside. Like, Devin seems like the type of guy would take him aside and go, hey, why are you aligning yourself with him? Or why are you having this fundraiser for him? See, the problem becomes, it's like anything, right? The problem becomes... They have a relationship with Trump long before he was president, right?
Stephen Rossen's known Trump for 40 years, they say, right. Going back to their New York real estate days.
Right, so there was a relationship that he had with this person. And it's like, don't you have people that you have a relationship
of
that,
course.
That have questionable behavior or may say things that are questionable at times in private to you, right? Now, all of a sudden, this person becomes a public figure or becomes a politician, and now some of the things that they feel like in Trump's mind, he starts to spew some of this rhetoric that it comes off as very racial and it comes off as very racist. And now you're like, wait a second, you know, I've known him forever and he's not really like that. And so it's a hard dynamic to deal with when it's somebody that you've known for a long time. And you're trying to still maybe...
Yeah, or a guy like Stephen Ross, whose net worth is nearly $7 billion. You're an old, rich, white guy.
Right,
Trump's racially...
You probably have... him and Trump, they all have everything stuff in common. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
They have so much stuff in common. Trump's remarks on race, he's like, eh. So he thinks Central Park 5, they're still guilty and should be killed.
Right.
I don't really care. I mean, that's what
I
think.
He doesn't want to apologize, right? He doesn't want to apologize to the Central Park 5. And so when he says these things, there are people that say, man, that sounds real racist, right?
Right.
You could say what you want. You might go, oh, no, I'm not racist. It's not. But when you start to say things that come off as racist, there's got to be a little bit of that.
Totally. And I would say, I mean, look, I went through this with Jerry a few weeks ago when he left the station and I tweeted out some nice things. You know, I had a great relationship with him. I like him a lot. And I had a lot of friends say, how can you like this guy who's so, you know, we hate his view? I go, well, I mean, because I know
you him. See He's a different part
right.
of him.
I mean, you can like someone so personally.
I love you too.
Right. So I totally get what Stephen Ross was saying in his statement. But I would also say when you have a guy who's the president of the United States saying the stuff he says, it is hard to, on one hand, say, oh, I'm promoting racial equality and trying to eliminate racial animus and then support this president who really does nothing but stoke it. You know?
Right, but you know that, like you said, with the Jerry Callahan would be a perfect situation
yes.
for you, right? So let's say he wanted to whatever it is, he wants to do this nonprofit or something like that, and you kind of look at him like, wait a second, you're doing this nonprofit, but you're still you love what Trump is saying based on gay rights or whatever. I'm just throwing that out there, not saying it, just so we can have something with whatever
sure.
it may be, and now they would be like. Reamer, why are you, like you said, why are you cool with Jerry and you know, he's promoting this thing here where he wants to see, you know, everybody, you know, have this nonprofit for equality and this, that, and the other, but he aligns himself with Trump in some of his views. It doesn't seem like you should be connecting yourself with that person, but you're, like you said, you know the other side of him. You built a relationship with him and a friendship. So you view him differently.
Well, and again, I also think Stephen Ross, given where he is in life, has the ability and the luxury, really is the word, the luxury
right.
to view Trump differently than a guy like Kenny Stills. Let's grab a couple calls on this before we head to break. Allison is in Cambridge. Hey, Allison.
Hi, guys. Stephen Ross did a fundraiser for him. Why can't we have there be different levels of things? I mean, Jerry Callahan isn't president of the United States. You can have somebody who's a friend. I mean, it's clear that Tom Brady has changed his mind about. I mean, that he was friends with Trump. He went to fashion shows with him. He did not. He didn't go to the White House. I mean, Trump didn't mention him in the Super Bowl. He eliminated him. The whole
right.
thing with the Kraft. Robert Kraft. I mean, Trump apparently was very good after Myra died. He called him every week. Kraft has told Trump, you should tax the rich. Colin Kaepernick should
sure, sure, and he's disagreed with them about the protests. But, Allison, I mean, Kraft
is
recently...
I did not hear that Kraft has supported any of Trump's policies. And the fact is that with Trump, it's not just lip service. The man is a white supremacist. The man's father would not give housing. They didn't give housing to black people.
Allison, I'll let you finish, but Kraft did go on an interview with Fox News and say Trump is doing great things for the country. I mean, Kraft has aligned himself pretty closely with the president.
But anyhow, if Robert Kraft had a fundraiser for Trump, everyone would have problems with it. And I've been annoyed with the people on our side who have said they won't watch the Patriots because of Kraft's friendship with Trump. And that bothers me, too. Why can't we separate out the levels? Okay? Why can't we separate out the levels? I mean, I'm just really upset with that because our side should be working together, Reamer.
Right, we should be able to separate, but that's the problem. We should be able to separate, you know, what some of the things that he says, right? If you're aligning yourself with Trump,
I'm talking about Wiggy, but if you're doing a fundraiser for him, that's where the bottom
line is. You're raising money for his reelection campaign.
Yeah, but I think in 2020, rather than raising money for anyone but him. I mean, the fact is that...
But maybe Ross believes in the
he hasn't done anything. But Wiggy, he hasn't done anything for the working man either. I mean, so the poor white people, working class whites who are supporting him, are getting nothing but him, nothing from him, other than just a venue to express their anger and hatred. That's all they're getting. They're not getting.
I'm sorry, Allison. Yeah. I think it's. But points are well heard here, Allison.
Yeah, and the problem is it becomes such a slippery slope, right? Because you talk about like people, you know, like owners, right? A billionaire owner, so they have a lot in common with Trump, right?
Yes.
A lot in common with some of the things that he's doing or he's done in his business, or maybe even some of his political beliefs. But I think there are a lot of people that they kind of condemn him. That even though they might believe in some of the things that he's doing or some of the things he says, they condemn him for some of the way he speaks, right? And a lot of the racist tone that he spits out there. So they say, well, you know what? I don't agree with everything he says. You know, that's kind of like the safe thing to do, right?
Yeah.
You see people do it. I don't agree with everything he says. I think at times he can say some – and Jerry used to do it all the time. He'll say some stupid things. He makes himself look like an idiot. But look at what he's really.
I like the tax breaks.
Right. So it's
border.
And it's difficult for when you're talking about a guy who's playing the game and is viewing it.
It is a black man too, and that's totally different. Kenny Stills looks at Donald Trump a million times differently than Stephen Ross or Robert Kraft. These old, rich, white. NFL
right, there's
owners.
Nothing that's there's nothing that Kenny Stills has in common with Ross, Kraft, or Trump.
Right, exactly. 617-779-7937. Your favorite segment, Wiggy, to close us out. Media stars. Who gets the media stars? Who gets the horns? We'll do all that next. We'll be right back. Sports Radio WEEI.
Right into this world.
A little country tune here.
That's it.
It's the end of the show, man.
Little Nas X.
This is not Nas X.
This is not.
No, no. Nas X, though, has a
country song, I know.
I've been Old Town Road is a country song?
I guess. That's
like
what
a
I
pop
thought.
Country song.
It's got Billy Ray in it.
Right. What'd you say?
It's got Billy Ray in it. Come on, it's got to be
any
something.
Any song where a guy wears cowboy boots and cowboy's hat, I figure that to be country.
Well, there's an Old Town Road in Wellesley, Massachusetts here. Yes, and they apparently had a sign, people trying to steal the street sign.
Wow.
Yes, with Old Town Road on it. So a lot of vandalism.
Take your horse down there.
So as always, we are going to end today's show with media stars. We have three new ones to give out. Everyone's ready. The Boston media scene. Let's hear the horns. For our three media stars here,
30
people
seconds.
Waiting with bated breath, Wiggy, for the media stars. And we'll get them. We'll get them coming up. Who's going to get it? Rob made some plays earlier for media stars.
You know who I definitely feel. I don't know who the media stars are going to be, but I definitely feel like is going to be a media star is Kerosene Ken Lannick.
Maybe. The time is right for him?
I feel like he's hot right now.
He's hot right now.
Saying?
You know, Ken and Curtis are basically, I mean, they are the crazy sports guys on the Greg Hill Show.
Yeah,
they are carrying
but I would
the sports
say
load there.
Ken more than Curtis.
At this time,
I feel like Ken Laird is like the little Nas X of media right now. He's all over the place. Everywhere you turn, it's Ken Laird.
It is. He's on Pittsburgh Radio. He's doing all that. So we'll do Nut Media Star number three here. I'm going to give it to your favorite columnist, Wiggy, Dan Shaughnessy. And you may say, why am I giving Dan Shaughnessy
the
this guy? We're waiting for it. You can do the horns for number three.
There you go. There are your horns.
He wrote a column that I enjoyed. Keeping with the times, a challenge for this ancient sports writer. It came out today, Wiggy. If you, if you want to read a Shaughnessy article,
okay,
read this one. It's very funny. It's about him turning 66.
See, I don't get, like, I'm, yes, I don't have a subscription
to the Globe.
To the
get
Globe.
Some free articles, though, per month. You get like five per month, I think.
Yeah, so I don't get his, especially the day of. So I'll have to see this now it's out on social
the
media.
The crimes of the ancient sports writer are many. My references are too damn old. I keep quoting Animal House, which came out in 1978.
Right. I mean, come on. Is that what he quoted in
he
there?
Does.
Like, come on. Like,
he even said he made a reference describing Chris Sale's Yankee Stadium mound implosion last week. I referenced Ninja Turtle shoelaces, which is what Roger Clemens wore when he had his five-star nutty in Oakland, Wiggy, way back in 1990.
Jesus.
Did anybody get that, Shaughnessy?
Like, really? I mean, I understand that you're an older gentleman, but do you not have, like, any kids? Like, you got to have a little bit of the current, like, you know, what's going on in the world.
Well, as he says, his kids are older than a lot of these athletes who he covers today, which at my age, Wiggy, at the grizzled old age of 26, I'm at this point now, too, where Rafael Devers is younger than me. Andrew Benintendi is younger than me. Bogarts is the same age as I am.
But you live in a day where you don't have to be, like, worldly on pop culture and pop references, but you should be able to cite, like, some things that might be, like, even if it's, like, mid-2000s,
give him, like, 10, 15 years.
Right, like, give me something. You're thinking about things in the 70s and 80s. Yeah. I mean, come on now.
Shaughnessy will reference Claude Rains in columns, he says, and that's from Casablanca, which came out in 1942.
Really, let's go. I mean, come on now.
And so, but a good self-deprecating column from Shaughnessy. I know you've been told, Wiggy, many times to read Shaughnessy around
here.
If you're going to read him, read that. Media star number two, you want to do my horns, Wiggy? The horns.
Oh, okay, am I doing the horns?
Here we go. Oh, they're back. They're back. Excellent. I am going to give number two, great job, Joe, finding that, on Tom Curran, who we referenced a lot earlier in the show, talking about the Tom Brady contract situation.
He's hot right now in
the
streets.
He is hot right now, and he's hot because he is giving us, I think, what is the unfettered viewpoint from Camp Brady. I don't know if he's talking to Tom Brady Sr. They've been known to have a good relationship. Right, I mean, Curran has been down at TB12 as well. Mm-hmm. He wrote that column a few years ago. So I don't know who his exact sources are, but it is apparent that Tom Curran is talking to the Brady camp, and he said bluntly on radio interviews with us this week, OMF, his Quick Slants podcast, his columns, that Brady is not happy with the way this contract situation worked out, and you know, that it is real that he not only could leave the Patriots this offseason, but it could be rather acrimonious.
And I give Tommy Curran, he's definitely credit, because he is plugged in, but I'm not buying that Brady's going to walk.
Yes, yeah. Well, I like it that he's giving us the Brady's viewpoint of things. He clearly
he's giving us the Brady whisperer. The old adage saying, when there's smoke, there's fire. So he's giving us a little smoke.
And speaking of smoke, that's a great transition to our number one media star this week. Co-media stars, actually. Here we are. And Rob Bradford and Kerosene Ken Laird for their Rickshaw podcast from earlier in the week. Ken Laird with his crazy takes going on Pittsburgh radio saying Tom Brady has ownership stakes in the Patriots. Can that keep him there? So there you go. Number one. And Bradford as well gets a little credit,
too. Yeah, but I think Bradford's really just, you know, he's riding Ken Laird's coattails.
He's riding Ken Laird coattails. You know, Kerosene Ken, that nickname, Rob came up with that nickname. Not only did he come up with that nickname, Wiggy, he invented a Twitter account to tweet as Ken Laird's alter ego, which is a little strange.
Kerosene Ken?
Yeah, that's a Twitter account. I'm not sure how active the account is.
Pretty good
time.
Superhero, right?
It's not a bad superhero, a crazy hot take machine. Yeah. So that's Bradford's baby. So there you go. They can share their number one media star. And Rob is the glue that holds the show together, of course, as we all know. Is that at the Essex County Parade?
Yeah, we got to figure out who his next guest is on. We still don't know what the name of his. You call it a bike taxi.
A bike taxi,
He calls it a rickshaw.
You call it a pedicab.
I call it a pedicab. Did you Google pedicab?
I have, yes. They're a real thing, Wiggy. I'll give you credit. You're not the only person who's ever said that before. I just call him a bike taxi. Yeah. Well, those guys must have really strong legs.
The gears change, so it's a little bit easier to change gears. But yeah, you got to definitely. But if you ever get a chance,
maybe I'll do that on my way out of Fenway today. Wiggy,
they should have some around here, right, to get us back to our cars.
They should. Wiggy, pleasure as always. Red Sox baseball coming up next. We'll see you all later. Tom Brady, remember, tomorrow morning, Greg Hill Show. Till I can't no more, I'm gonna take my-
Kia.
Ride till I can't no more.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.